Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Eric Blesso of Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with my man, PLR.
Everyone, what is going on? Happy hump day to you. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR, and we are going to get into it today. Got a little football talk, got some basketball talk. Scheduled to have the one and only Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer at philly.com talk a little Sixers with us today. Talk very little baseball, but we definitely have some baseball to talk about as we have some closeout games, some closeout series, and a strange situation going on in Chicago with the Cubs and the Washington Nationals. And is Strasburg going to pitch? Not pitch? Now he's pitching? I don't know. If your heart ain't in it, I think that's an old song. If your heart isn't in it, why don't you tell me? I'm not going to sing. Like I said, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR, and we are brought to you as usual by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco in Chandler, Arizona, located on Chandler Heights in Alma School. Listen, folks, get in there, let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you, and they will take 10%. That's right, 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can buy your cigars and take them home. You can buy your cigars and smoke them for the day, or you can become a member of the club. You'll get a locker with your nameplate on it. Your locker will back up to a humidor, so you can buy your cigars and not worry about them ever going bad. When you come down, just go into your locker, take them out. There's over 11 televisions for you to sit down and watch. Yes, they do have the NFL ticket. They do not close on nights that there are games on until those games go off. So make sure you're getting down there, checking it out. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco on Chandler Heights and Alma School in Chandler, Arizona. And like I said, let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you, and it will take 10% off of your purchase. Strange happenings in Chicago today. Strasburg is supposed to be pitching for the Nationals. Yesterday, I think he said he wasn't pitching. I knew he threw a bullpen session. He said he was sick. There's mold in his hotel. Okay. Now today, all of a sudden, he is pitching because he feels remarkably better than he did yesterday. Okay. So you have a guy that didn't want to go because he was sick. Never mind, there have been people that are sick and they play when their team needs them. So he wasn't going to pitch. Now he is going to pitch. Dusty Baker says there's no peer pressure. That's not why he's pitching. Dusty Baker even fell on a sword for his pitcher by saying even he feels a little under the weather. The game was rained out yesterday, which actually helps the Nationals because you can start Strasburg on normal rest and reset up your pitching lineup, but I don't know. Here's my worry. If I'm a Nationals fan, here's a guy that did not want to pitch, did not want to do it, absolutely said no, and now all of a sudden he's ready to go again. Is his heart in it? Is he going to be ready to pitch? Is he being forced to pitch? Is someone saying to him, this is why we paid you this much money so you can pitch, which is then making him pitch? I mean, it's really a no-lose for him if he wins because he can come back and say, see what I did even when I wasn't at my best. But if he loses this game, he's going to get way more scrutiny than Zach Greinke got out here in Arizona when he didn't have necessarily his best stuff. And what was the closeout game for the Diamondbacks? Even though I say any pitcher that gives up three solo shots, that's not that much that you can't overcome. You should be getting 3 to 4 runs a game anyway. In Wrigley, it looks like the wind is blowing in today, which should help him, which should help Strasburg pitch. Cubs have made a lineup switch, so Hayward will be playing today. I don't know about this, man. I'm really torn on this one, to be perfectly honest with you. And I know I age myself when I say this, but I was talking about Jim Palmer the other day. That guy would pitch on a day's rest. Pedro would pitch on a day's rest. Pedro Martinez, for those of you who aren't on first-name basis with him. I once saw Pedro Martinez almost single-handedly did get the Cleveland Indians to the playoffs. Dude was pitching like every 3 days. Boston, you need a big pitcher? There's Pedro. Randy Johnson, need a big pitcher? There's Randy. Even Curt Schilling, need a big pitcher? There he is. Kershaw does not even have one of the best records in the playoffs, and we know how good he is, but he doesn't have one of the best records. But when it's time to take the ball, he takes the ball. I'm just worried about – I'm not worried in terms of anything, but Chicago, it's 59 degrees. Excuse me, it appears to be a light rain, so I'm quite curious here. This is Paul with the Cave Show. Who do I have on line? I'm sorry, you're breaking up on me just a little bit. I think we're having trouble here. Let me see if I can clean this up just a little bit. Okay, let's try one more time.
Is that better?
Hello?
Is that better, sir? Can you hear me?
Do me one favor. Try to call me back because you're fading in and out on me, and I want to make sure I'm getting what you're saying, okay? Give us a call back. Online with us right now, the one only from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Oh, and we just lost him. We had Keith Pompey calling in, but we lost him. Looks like we lost a couple calls here. Like I was saying before, though, it's rainy in Chicago, wind blowing in. That's not a good recipe. I think we got Keith back on. From the Philadelphia Inquirer and Philly.com, one and only Keith Pompey. Keith, what's happening, my man? This is Paul.
Yo, what's how you doing?
Oh, man, good. I appreciate you calling in today to talk with us a little bit.
Oh, anytime.
So I got to ask you, I know the weather's been crazy. Are you guys getting that 89 and 95 that we're getting out here in Phoenix right now?
Not quite that. We're getting it probably around like 80, well, about 80, 70, 75. You know what I mean? That's the equivalent, I guess, of 100 out in Phoenix. You know what I mean? Or 120 out in Phoenix.
I know I miss being from Chicago really. I still miss that weather. When it's fall, I want to have fall weather. When I look up and it's 95 degrees and almost the middle of October, there comes a point where you're like, okay, now let's get some cold weather in here finally.
But it's that dry heat, though, bro. You know how that goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Yeah, man. I've been putting up with it for a while, and I look up, I see October, I see those football games, I see people with jackets and sweaters, and we out here still in shorts.
And I trade you in
heartbeat. Hey, it's almost here. Finally, basketball is back. And it seems like this offseason was the busiest offseason. Maybe it was just me, but football always keeps – there's talk always because everything is so spaced out. For the first time in a long time, it seemed like NBA took that mantle from them, and there were deals coming up to media day, like with Dwayne Wade getting a buyout. Is it just me, or was this one of the busiest offseasons?
It's not you. It is one of the busiest off seasons. I mean, you think about it. I think the prelude of what to it was, you know, a couple years ago when we talk about when LeBron and Chris Bosh went to Miami, and now it's like free agencies. Before, a lot of guys would stay with their own teams, you know, try to stay and get the money. And now it's like taking buyouts, getting out of deals so they can, you know, form these power teams. So, yeah, it's changed. There's a lot of intrigue nowadays.
What do you think the biggest move of the summer was this summer?
The biggest move of the summer, I want to say that it was two moves. this summer. And I would like to say that it was it started off with Paul George going to OKC, and then when they ended up getting Carmelo Anthony. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out, but, you know, OKC went from being a one-man wrecking crew to now they have, what, three all-star type players, you know, and I think that that was the biggest thing. Now, again, I know some people may say, you know, Kyrie Irving, you know, going out of Boston, I think that's great as well, but I think that as far as taking a team that only had one guy and he had to score like 39 to 40 points a game just to keep them in the games, to have, you know, three all-stars is huge.
Well, I agree with you. Oh, no, I definitely agree with you. And it's funny how I hear people say this all the time, and I think I show my age every time they say it, that there's not enough balls to go around. And I always say unselfish teams will always have enough balls to go around. And I always go back and remind them the super team stuff is a farce, because we're only saying it now because the players are creating their own situations. But back in the 80s when the Lakers had three or four Hall of Famers and Detroit had,
mm-hmm.
you know, a stack team, and Boston had a stack team, and Philadelphia with Moses and Doc and Tony, they had his balls never stopped. The ball moved, and and talented players will find talented players. So there's really no super team. I think that's just something that's been coined because players have decided to make the moves as opposed to management doing it for them.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And also, I hate to say it, you know, nowadays, you know, back in the day, the goal was always to win a championship. And nowadays, you know, players are making more money. So you have some players who basically want to be in monetary situations. I'm not saying that's what's happening with the super teams thing, but, you know, a lot of these young guys, you know, it's not all about winning initially. It's all about, let me see how much money I can make to get this second contract. I mean, how good I can, you know, I mean, great stats I could put up in order to get this second contract. You know, and I think that's one of the biggest difference in the league nowadays.
I agree with you because, like I said, showing my age, I remember when Moses moved from Houston to Philadelphia, it was like, just put the ring on him now. I mean, Doc Moses, if Tony can keep that foot healthy and Mo Cheeks running the show, who's going to beat them? And sure enough, no one did. But I just – there to me, there's no difference in that than Kevin Durant saying, you know, let me go there and, yeah, I'll take a little haircut on this other contract, but I just signed a $200 million shoe deal, so I can take $2 million less a year. I'll be fine with that. And that's something that players in the older days, they didn't have. They couldn't give up, you know, $2, $3 million a year because there was no 200-something-odd million-dollar shoe contracts to fall back on.
Yeah, exactly right. And something else, like, I don't mean to, like, say show your age, you're showing my age, too, but, like, think about that Sixers. Think about that 76ers team. So everybody talks about Moses. They all talk about Doc. And, you know, everybody talks about Andrew Toney, you know, with the feet and everything. But Mo Cheeks was an all-star. And people don't even remember it because it was like back in the day where he wasn't worrying about getting the shine, but everyone in the league knew that he was one of the best point guards in the league. You know, a guy from Chicago like yourself, you know, everyone knew that this guy could play. But it was just one of those things where it was just a different time. He wasn't worrying about the statistics. All he wanted to do was win, you know, and he won a championship. And, you know, now look at him. You know, he's still involved in basketball. But, you know, it's just a different time, man. It's a completely different time.
You are not lying. I'm very lucky you are lying with this one only. Keep Pompey of Philadelphia Inquirer. I want to talk to you a little bit about your team and a couple guys in particular, one who I think gets not enough love in the NBA and one who's I'm really just wondering about. What is the start with Robert Covington? Do people in Philadelphia, are they the only ones who know that this guy can play? Because out here I've talked to people when Philly's come to town and they're like, who's that? I'm like, well, how do you not know this? How do you not know this guy can play?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know what, and it's funny because, you know, I really like Robert Covington, and even I feel like, you know, people in Philadelphia, really for a while didn't give him the just due. I mean, you know, this guy is the Sixers' best on-ball defender. You know, he's probably their second best three-point shooter behind J.J. Redick. But it's just one of those things where, you know, he always gets criticized for what he can't do, what he can't do. But, you know, I think that when we talk about the 76ers, you know, you're going to talk about Joel Embiid. You're going to talk about Ben Simmons. You're going to talk about Markelle Fultz and J.J. Redick. But then there's a guy, you always need a guy in your rotation or a guy in your starting lineup who can be able to play multiple positions, a guy who can defend, a guy who can basically do the dirty work, and that's him. You know, he's their best perimeter defender on the team, and he's going to draw a lot of those assignments that's going to free up, you know, J.J. Redick and Ben Simmons just to focus on offense. You know, like you said, he's a very underrated guy, and I think that, you know, I don't think his play is going to improve this much this season, but I think that the Sixers are going to be more in the national spotlight, and that's going to make people notice him more, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the running for one of the most improved players just because now people are going to pay attention to him.
Okay, I watched this kid because I still follow Chicago basketball. So I saw, you know, probably about 8 or 9 of his games when he was in high school. And obviously I saw him in Duke. But it seems like that Jahlil Okafor is not this Jahlil Okafor. I understand Joel Embiid is that good, but what happened to him?
You mean, you know, it's funny. Like, I think there's a comeback with him in regards to, you know, being a player that everyone expected him to be. I think that initially he was behind the eight ball because, you know, I understand that you didn't know that the Sixers weren't aware of if Joel Embiid was going to be healthy. You know, I understand that. But you drafted Jahlil Okafor to be the third center. I mean, he was like the third center that they drafted. I'm talking about starting quality centers. You had Nerlens Noel too, right? So he comes into a situation. They want to get up and down. You know, you saw him play, you know, at Whitney Young High. You saw him play at Duke. You know, he wasn't a transition type of big. He was a guy who you fed the post, and then he worked his magic. But the Sixers didn't need him to do that. So they needed him to be somewhere else. I mean, do a totally, completely game. And then also you wanted your centers to be a dominant rim protector. He's not a dominant rim protector. So it was just a thing where the Sixers, in my personal opinion, did him a huge injustice by drafting him because I felt like he wasn't the fit. Now, was he the best player available in their eyes? Yes. But at the same time, it was a tough situation for him. But I will tell you this. Ja has shed 20 pounds, right? You know what I mean? He's hustling now on defense. The guy is making threes. I mean, it's like he looks like a completely different player. Like he basically reinvented himself because he knows that's what he has to do. So right now he's playing the best ball that he's ever played as a 76er.
Okay. No, I got to follow my Chicago guys all the way through. They give me a lot of heat out here. Like, dude, you're not in Chicago anymore. I know. But Chicago is still in me. I'm not there, but it's here. The guy who I thought would get Rookie of the Year last year was Dario Saric. And it was only because Embiid played 31 games. That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to get enough time to continue to show what he can do and develop now that Ben Simmons is back?
You know, I think so. I think that, you know, again, you know, we're going to talk about players who, let's just say, who aren't starters, like a la a Jamal Crawford or someone like that. We go back in the day to Bobby Jones, since we're dating ourselves, Vinny the Microwave, you know, where he can be a guy and that who could come off the bench and get his shine. Like, he's good enough to become a starter. The only problem is, I think that when you have Ben Simmons, who right now, you know, who they're contemplating on who he's going to guard on defense. And it looks like he's going to guard power forwards and be a point guard on offense. You know, that kind of, you know, messes things up for Dario. Secondly,
okay,
when you look at Dario, he's improved his three-point shooting, but he's not the type of guy who teams are going to say, okay, we really have to respect that. So it's going to mess up the spacing between him and Embiid on the block. So I feel as if that him coming off the bench, you know, he can be the focal point leading the second unit. And I think that's better off for him in regards to getting statistics and getting shine. Because other than that, he'll just be a rebounding, you know, four for the Sixers if he was in the starting lineup.
Okay. Makes sense. Because I'm going to tell you, I was at one of the games last year, and I was following, I was watching the Sixers game, and I know it sounds bad, but the Suns are losing by about 22. So I was like, let me see what else is going on. And he was putting on a show, and I looked at the guy next to me, and I said, watch this kid play. He's so good. And he said, I've never heard of him. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding, man. This kid can play. I would pick him as my rookie of the year because that's when you know, Embiid had went out. He's like, I've never even heard of him. And then about 10 games later, he said, yo, man, that Dario kid, he can play. And I'm like, welcome to the party, man. Welcome to the party. Better late than never. So I've been a fan of his since I've seen him play the very first time.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a hard worker. He's kind of like a throwback blue-collar guy. You know, the question is, though, you know, the thing is can he and Joel Embiid, you know, coexist? I mean, you know, he just needs to develop a three, you know, more so to just to create space. All right? I mean,
yeah.
So that's it. He'll be fine other than that.
Do you guys make the playoffs in the East this year?
The only reason why I'm saying that is because, well, from what I've seen, Embiid hasn't played yet. But from what I've seen, you know, the two guards are solid, but they're young. I'm talking about the two first overall picks, Markel Fultz and Ben Simmons, right? They're
mm-hmm.
solid, but they're young, and they're going to go through growing pains. Now, again, it could be something to where they could battle for it and sneak in late in the season, but their record early on is steep. It's tough. I mean, it's the toughest record, I think, of all the teams in the league early on. I think that they'll have to go through the ups and downs. But, again, they could possibly make it, but I'm not one of those people who are saying the East is weak. Hey, look, we got these guys. They're going to be great. They're going to do this and do that. You know what? It's like this is real man basketball. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you don't make the playoffs based on resume. You make the playoffs based on experience and what you can do on the floor. You know what I mean? I think that all great players have to go through growth spurts. And I think that's what's going to happen to the 76ers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though. The teams at the East that are good are really good. You know, obviously Washington, Boston, Cleveland, Toronto. And then I look at teams like Milwaukee and Charlotte, and I kind of have a good feeling. But those last two spots, I'm like, it could be anybody's. And Indian, the Pacers, I'm like, who's left? You know, it's like, who's left? And you start taking teams apart, and it's like, is Porzingis ready to make that move and be that man? Is Schroeder enough to get them over the hump? Is Miami going to play the first half of the season like they played the last half of the season? It's so many different questions in the East at that bottom four position, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's so many questions. But at the same time, you know, again, you know, these two guys were great college players. But right now, you know, they're going up against, you know, let's face it, you know, you got the eighth or ninth or tenth man on the team. He was the guy at his school in college. You know, it's just a
right.
different level, and it's just a different thing they have to go. And something else, you know, they're playing with so many new players that it's crazy. Like, right now they're having a hard time getting J.J. Redick the ball in the right spot. You know, the coach is saying that, you know, basically it takes a third of the season to get everything together. So, you know, to me, you know, that's going to be around January. So, you know, when you're waiting that long, it could be a while, man. Like, and again, last year it took them a third to get together, and they look good in January. But we're talking about, you know, struggles through November, October, in November, December. You know, that you're getting too far behind. You know, you're getting too far behind. But, hey, man, I hate to do this, but I got to, you know, do this media availability right quick. But thanks for
having
me on your show. All right, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. When you come out here, we have to hang out.
Oh, no doubt. I'll be there New Year's Eve if you're there.
I'm here, and I'm old, and the wife goes to bed by 9, so I'm ready.
All right. I'll tell her I won't keep you out too late.
All right, Keith. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, everyone. That was Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. I appreciate him joining us for a little while, talking a little Philadelphia basketball. Well, I guess there's no secret what I will be doing on New Year's Eve. This segment is brought to you by Tzatziki's Pita Grill, best Mediterranean food in the Phoenix metropolitan area, bar none. It is located on Elliott and Priest in Tempe, next door to T-Mobile. Let them know that PLR sent you down. They will take 10% off of any meal that you get. Again, let them know that PLR sent you down. They'll take 10% off of any meal that you get. The New York Giants are falling apart, folks. Falling apart big time. DRC, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, has been suspended by the team. Getting into it with the head coach, Ben McAdoo. If you're a Giants fan right now, you got to be worried. And I don't understand what the Giants are seeing in Ben McAdoo right now to make them want to keep him any longer. This is a guy who apparently, by all estimations, has lost this team. He throws Eli under the bus. He kind of sort of gets into it with Odell Beckham Jr. before he's obviously hurt. He's lost his three or four of his receivers to injury. Other defenses, other teams are saying they're so simplistic that they know what play is coming before it even comes. Now, I know teams prepare for plays. But what happens with a lot of teams, they may run two or three plays from a bunch of different formations that are the same plays. So they may run this play from the shotgun. They may run this play from trips. They may run this play from the 11 package. They may run this play from a lot. But from what I'm hearing, they don't even do that. When they line up and when they line up with two tight ends, they know what play is going to run from that. They line up with one tight end, they know what they're going to run from that. There's no imagination. They have no running game. No one even respects the play action from the Giants anymore. And I think it's funny everyone's talking about that they need to draft another quarterback. I think you might want to hold on to Eli just a little bit longer and maybe draft, I don't know, offensive linemen, running backs, something that can help Eli. At this stage of their careers, and when I say their, I mean Eli Manning, Carson Palmer, Big Ben Roethlisberger. You got to have an offensive game, a running game that can help them. Everyone isn't Tom Brady. You have to have a running game that can assist them. If people can key on those players, especially Eli, who's not the most mobile of quarterbacks, if you can just pin your ears back and charge at him, bull rush the heck out of a bad offensive line, that's it. You have to give him something to keep the defense off balance. And it's the same problem here in Arizona. The Cardinals average a measly 51 rushing yards a game. Hopefully Adrian Peterson can offset that a little bit, but folks, 51 rushing yards per game. That's why Carson Palmer is the most hit quarterback in the NFL. Because they know. And when it comes to Eli, he doesn't even have a receiver anymore to throw the ball to. But Ben McAdoo still has a job? Running a simplistic offense, throwing his quarterback on the bus, defensive players getting tired of him, he's lost the team, no one listens to him, no one cares to listen to him, and he has a job? Wow. That's really interesting. we will see what will happen in New York, but I think that team is gone. It would not surprise me. Well, actually, it would surprise me if they let Ben McAdoo go, I say, during the bye week, because the Giants don't like to fire coaches midseason. Maybe they just have already figured the season is a loss. We're not going to promote anyone that's going to keep the job. Let's just end this nightmare and be done with it, because in all reality, the Giants could be 0-8 or 1-7 by the break, by their break. Sad, sad tale of events for a team that has such a long history and storied history of being a winning organization. I mean, Coughlin had, don't get me wrong, Coughlin had some bad years, but Coughlin had one thing he could always fall back on. He won 2 Super Bowls. He's won 2. Listen, I never really tell people to go and listen to another station. I never do, actually, because that would be crazy of me. But they're not in my time zone. They don't come on when I come on. So on this one, I'm going to tell you to listen to it. The Dan Le Batard Show, go to an archive, go to YouTube, go to the4letter.com, wherever you have to go to find it. And I hope I don't pronounce her last name, Kawana Nige, the Vegas model, who outed Chris Forrester, the offensive lineman of the Miami, or the offensive line coach of the Miami Dolphins. You might want to hear that interview, the full interview, not just snippets, but the full interview. And that's all I'm going to tell you. And like I said, rarely do I ever tease another show, but I would do it an injustice by giving you too much info, other than she fully explained why she outed Chris Forrester. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Give you a quick update in baseball as well. We were talking about the Cubs. We were talking about Strasburg not wanting to pitch and then wanting to pitch, but always wanted to pitch, but didn't want to pitch, but is now pitching, all that stuff. Anyway, there's another elimination game, Cleveland and New York, and I would not want to be an Indians fan right now. And this is why I say that. You have to be sitting on all kinds of pins and needles. If you go back to last year, you watch your team build a 3-1 lead in the World Series only to lose it. Now we come back, and in a 5-game series, you see them take 2 games and look like they could not be beat at all. Although arguments could say that they should have lost one of those games if Girardi had used his replay call. But nonetheless, they were up 2-0. Go to New York, lose, have to come back home, and now it's winner takes all. That's a tough position to be in, because they always talk about pressure, who's it on, who's it off, yada, yada. This time, all the pressure is clearly and firmly on the Cleveland Indians. The New York Yankees weren't even supposed to make the playoffs this year, and they did with a young team. Cleveland, at one point, won 24, 25 games in a row, playing the best baseball in the league at the time. Looked like there was no one that could beat them at all. They were winning not-so-close games, close games. They won a couple games, you know, with their last at-bat. They couldn't be beat. Everything was clicking coming up to the playoffs, which is what everyone wants. But then all of a sudden, ruh-roh, something happened, and now they look beatable. And think about it. If the Yankees lose, what are we going to say? We're going to say, well, if Girardi would have did this, they would have been better. Oh, well, you know what? These young guys are a year ahead of schedule, so they did really well. We're going to say all that stuff. If Cleveland loses, they choked. They gave it away. They did all this. A lot different, folks. A lot different. So I can't wait to see that game a little bit later tonight. Well, we know what that music means. It means it's time for us to get out of here. Throw you a quick update. There's no score in Chicago. Top of the second. on a miserable day in Chicago. Special thanks to Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer and Philly.com for joining us today on the Carry Lackey Law Line to talk NBA and talk Philadelphia 76ers specifically with us. Appreciate that. Had a couple callers that we lost due to a bad connection. Apologize. Make sure you get back in with us. Let us know what's on your mind. You know what Wednesday night means? Wednesday night means at 8 o'clock, gameplay with Mia Chambers will be on. That's football talk you're going to get, so make sure that you are definitely checking her out. Until next time, everyone, happy hump day to you. Hope you have a good Wednesday. It's all downhill on a positive note from here. The weekend is coming. It means football, which means only 6 days away from the start of NBA season. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone continues and have a great Wednesday. Until tomorrow, take care, and we will talk to you then. Oh, this will be the second day in a row I forgot. At the Sports Cave. Twitter, Facebook fan page, Instagram, and of course, thesportscave.com, where Cave is always with the K, and then you can get me at PLR on Sports on Twitter. I cannot believe I almost forgot that. Again, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a great Wednesday. Take care. I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, I'm that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope when my back's up against the ropes. I can feel it, the world's greatest. In the ring of life, I'm ready.